Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend, Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. Awesome to be here on Sunday night.
Yes, it is.
And do you drive all the way from Youngstown?
I did.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's like 1,000 miles.
Wow. Did you have to, like, stop and rest on the way?
Oh, yeah. No. Like, halfway through the trip, you got
this. Did you pack some sandwiches? And
sandwiches, some, you know, iced tea, yeah. Big cooler, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're glad you're here.
I stop and usually, you know, rest under a tree or something.
Oh, did you walk?
Yeah.
See, now in biblical times, you would have just, like, walked.
Kind of like Jonah when he was sitting under the tree waiting for Nineveh to be destroyed, and he goes, okay, now, Lord? And it's like, Jonah, I'm not going to do it now because I repented.
Yeah. Oh,
what?
Come on.
I've been waiting for it.
I got the popcorn made.
Yeah, I walked. It usually takes me about a couple hours.
That would have been a couple hours. That probably would have been like the distance when it says in the Bible they went up to Jerusalem from Nazareth, and probably about the same distance.
Probably. You walk about 2 or 3 miles an hour?
Except they didn't do it in a car. They had to walk it.
Yeah. They could have took a horse. I should have got a horse. I should have thought of that. Wow. Jeez, oh, man.
Are you allowed to have a horse on the turnpike? Probably not.
No, it's kind of clogs up the passing lane.
So anyway,
try to go green. You
let's
know.
Get back to let's get back to Pentecost.
Yes, let's.
Well, we're still living in Pentecost.
We are.
Whoa!
Every day should be Pentecost.
Yeah, yeah.
Because every day God's mercies are brand new.
Yeah, I have a very good friend who I don't know. He's been a believer forever, and he's in his late 80s now, and.
Oh, wow.
He's always been involved in a Pentecostal church. And once in a while, he says to me, I've been living in Pentecost for 70 years.
There you go. Amen, brother.
So that's pretty neat. It's not just like one day on the calendar.
Well, you think about it. Anytime anybody's baptized now in the Spirit, you get an outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't have to wait for the Feast of Pentecost. You don't have to wait for the Feast of, what was it called, Shavuot?
Shavuot, yeah. And even if you don't hear the driving wind and you don't see the tongues of fire, it's still the same Spirit.
It's still the same Spirit.
Well, yeah.
So poured out in full measure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we talked last time about our friend Peter going out to confront these people who said, oh, these men are drunk.
Yeah. He was a new man.
Yeah, he was a new man. He was so filled with the Spirit. He was enthusiastic. He was euphoric. He was hard hitting.
See, this is what happens to Peter in Acts 1 and 2 is really the, it's what being transformed or made into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ is all about. It's what it's, you know, he's made new.
Yes. Exactly.
In the Lord. Yes. So this is what it's all about.
He's nothing like he was even a few hours before this.
No.
And, you know, Peter would have never stood in front of 3,000 people or however many thousands there were and said anything, let alone quoted from Joel chapter 2. And we're going to see in a little bit Psalm 16. And he confronts these people. And he points out that they're not drunk,
right,
as you think, because it's only 9 in the morning. But then he goes right into what you see happening here as a scriptural basis. And last time I think we talked about, he referred to the prophet Joel, who's a minor prophet, but pretty cool. And
yes.
I think he's only got 3 or 4 chapters.
That's okay.
Depending which Bible you have. But
he got part of it in the New Testament. Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's right. They quoted him.
Yeah.
And he probably would have felt pretty good if somebody would have told him.
Oh, yeah.
After Messiah, they're going to quote you.
They are?
Yeah. He probably would have been happy about that. So, you know, Peter, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who's just been poured out on him, basically tells these people, this is scriptural what's happened here. And you guys didn't want to listen to Jesus when he was here, but now you're going to listen to me, and I'm going to tell you something.
He does say that.
And he says, listen, you know, he says, heed my words or listen carefully to what I'm saying. He doesn't say, well, you know, if you want to listen to this, fine. If you don't feel like listening to it, that's okay too. Or if you want to go do something else right now, it's fine. He says, you better listen to what I'm saying because this is serious business. And he points out that this is an important event that's happening and that when he's filled with the Spirit, he talks about how the Spirit was now going to be poured out in full measure now that we're in the dispensation of grace.
Right.
And that Jesus has died, he's risen, he's ascended, he's been glorified. And so now the other paraclete is coming. And so to make a long story short, Joel says the Spirit's going to be poured out on all flesh, which includes all those pesky, unclean Gentiles. And it's also going to be all different levels of people. And it won't matter if you're male or female, whether you're young or old, whether you're a slave or free, because now this is the kingdom.
That's it. It's poured out on everybody.
Yeah.
Without, you know, in fullness of measure, without, you know, like you're saying, without regards to your social status, your ethnic background.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, the formula is, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Yes, I do. Boom, you get it. Pretty simple.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's, you know, there's a little bit more to it than that, but because we'll get to it here in a few minutes, but because Peter goes on with his dissertation here. Mm-hmm. But he does. He says, let this be known to you and listen to my words. These people are not drunk as you suppose. So he's imploring them to listen to him. And do you want me to start reading from like 22? Or?
Yeah, why don't you start reading in 22?
Let's get right into it.
This is good stuff here.
You who are Israelites, hear these words. Jesus the Nazarene was a man commended to you by God with mighty deeds, wonders, and signs, which God worked through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This man, delivered up by the set plan and foreknowledge of God, you killed, using lawless men to crucify him. But God raised him up, releasing him from the throes of death, because it was impossible for him to be held by it. For David says of him, I saw the Lord ever before me, with him at my right hand, I shall not be disturbed. Therefore, my heart has been glad, and my tongue has exulted. My flesh too will dwell in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence.
Woo. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So interestingly too, he addresses us to the men of Israel.
Right.
Sometimes he says the men of Judah, men of Judea, but you know, the men of Israel. So he's following the basic plan of you preach first to the Jew and then to the Gentile.
Mm-hmm. So, did he ask for the scroll from the attendant?
No.
He didn't?
He didn't.
It just came to him.
Yeah, wow. Exactly. And that's another point. I think we made that last week or
I think
maybe the week before. Was he just like walks out of the upper room and starts doing this. Doesn't prepare any notes. Doesn't make a PowerPoint. Doesn't say, you know, I got some things here I want to cover. So if you have your Bible, could you open up to it? He just starts into this unbelievably awesome preaching.
Yeah.
Which also is a teaching, but the preaching is, let me tell you something. You better listen to me. And you're the men of Israel. And
yeah.
You were supposed to be the ones that first received Messiah. But did you do that? No. Mm-hmm. You handed him over to evil men and they crucified him.
Yeah.
And can you imagine this going down? You delivered him up. But that was with the foreknowledge of God. This was planned from before the beginning. So these lawless men killed him, but God raised him up because it's impossible for death to hold him.
Yeah.
Your Holy One can't see corruption. Interestingly, in Jewish tradition, they thought that corruption of your body started when you'd been dead for 4 days.
Right.
So this is why the resurrection was on the third day.
Mm-hmm.
And, Lazarus, you know, the scripture points out Lazarus had been dead 4 days.
Yeah.
And so his sister said, oh man, you better not roll that stone away. It's going to be disgusting.
Yeah.
But, Jesus waited until corruption had gone into the body as a way they could, in a way they could understand to say, come forth.
Right.
Cause he's, hasn't conquered death yet, but he's in the process of conquering death. And this is kind of a foreshadowing of here comes Lazarus out of the grave, even though corruption's already set in his body.
Right.
And he could have gone to a grave of somebody who had been dead 500 years where all there is a little pile of dust. He could have had him come out of the grave too if he wanted to.
That's true. But no, you bring up a good point because in the time of Jesus, he raised Lazarus on the fourth day. And because of their belief system or what they believed, you know, if had Jesus risen him, or had God, you know, tried to raise him a day earlier or 2 days earlier, they might not have believed as, you know, they might not have believed.
Yes.
Who knows? But, you know, as Jesus, you know, Jesus told his disciples, I'm thinking about when he told them, you know, I lay down my life willingly.
Yeah.
I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to raise it up again.
Yeah.
Now, they didn't understand that, obviously, when he was talking to them about that. But now, Peter's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's a new creation in Christ. And he's preaching with authority.
Mm-hmm.
He's preaching with one who has been given the authority of the Holy Spirit. Of the Paraclete,
yes,
to proclaim as an ambassador the truth of the gospel and that Jesus is raised from the dead.
Yeah, and it's interesting that it says Peter stood up. He's standing with
time
the 11.
Work.
Yeah, I mean, this is time. It's time to work. He's standing like a preacher. You know, he's not sitting down because now there's work to do, and it's going to be a hard work. But he's been empowered by the Spirit, so he's going to be propelled forward, if you want to look at it that way. So this isn't done sitting down.
Right.
Now you can reach people if you're sitting down, but I think it's pretty cool that it says Peter stood up and said this. And, you know, he had the authority, like you just said, he had not only the authority from the Spirit he had just gotten, but even Jesus had given him authority.
Yeah.
To, you know, minister to your brethren, to, I forget exactly how he says it, but you know what I mean?
Right.
Even before he denied Jesus, he says, when you're restored, you're going to help your brothers. And so he stands up with an authority to preach this, which is really quite amazing. And, it's cool too that he calls him Jesus of Nazareth. So there's like no question who he's talking about.
Right.
That's how he was known. Now, he wasn't born in Nazareth. We know that.
Right.
But he spent most of his life there. Mm-hmm. And he was known as Jesus of Nazareth. So there were other people named Yeshua.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, he was not the only one.
Right.
But when he calls him Jesus of Nazareth, he wants to make sure that they know who he's talking about. And it says, you know, God sent him with signs and wonders. So if you heard about him, you know, you knew that he healed people. He raised people from the dead.
Yep.
He turned water into wine. He made, you know, dinner for 5,000 men out of some bread and some little fish or whatever, you know, whatever it was. So if you've heard of this guy, you know he came with signs and wonders. And he says the leaders rejected him, but he was approved by God.
Yeah.
Woo.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he's approved by God because he's God's son. He was obedient unto death, and God raises him.
Yeah.
You know, so as Peter quotes there, you know, he says, "My brothers, one can confidently say to you about the patriarch David that he died and was buried, and his tomb is in our midst to this day. But since he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants upon his throne, he foresaw and spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that neither was he abandoned to the netherworld, nor did his flesh see corruption."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. And that's quoted from Psalm 16 about his holy one not seeing corruption. And it's interesting, too, because being the son of David is one of the most important messianic titles. Anyone can tell you that Messiah is David's son.
Yeah.
Whether you're a believer in Jesus, you know the Messiah is the son of David. If you're an observant Jew who feels Messiah hasn't come yet, when Messiah comes, he's going to be the son of David. That's his most, pretty much his most common messianic title in Judaism. Mm-hmm. And Peter goes into that too, because he wants to connect this Jesus of Nazareth who came to you from God with signs and wonders. Your leaders rejected him. We saw all this stuff that he did. And oh, guess what? He's connected to David too.
Yeah.
And we're the witnesses of this.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter points out he was delivered up. His, you know, his death, this was all planned.
Right.
Now, some of these guys he had was talking to may have been there the morning of Good Friday. You know, some of these guys may have been the ones yelling, crucify him.
Yeah.
Because they were there for Passover, pilgrimage feast. Now they're there for Shavuot, another pilgrimage feast. Some of these guys might have lived even in that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Some of them might have lived nearby. Some of them may have seen the crucifixion. And then he kind of charges them with it.
Yeah.
You guys handed him over to lawless men or to evil men or to whatever your translation says. And they killed him.
Yeah.
And you guys handed him over.
Oof. Yeah. Yeah. He said, God raised this Jesus. Of this we are all witnesses.
Yes.
Exalted at the right hand of God. He received the promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father and poured it forth as you see and hear. For David did not go up into heaven, but he himself said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.
Yeah.
Therefore, let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
you guys put him to death.
Yeah.
Even though it was the plan, you guys did it. And we're the witnesses that he rose.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't see corruption. He wouldn't see decay. And because of this, he conquered death, which is the last enemy.
Yeah.
And he basically says death can't have a hold on him.
Yeah.
And death, so we're witnesses to that, because we saw him after he rose. Not only did we see him, we talked to him. We heard what he said. He made fish and toast for us one morning.
Right.
We kind of, you know, showed up in the upper room. I mean, we saw him.
Right.
And we're witnesses that he was raised from the dead.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
Woo.
So, I mean, there's, you know, he says that he received the promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father. That Jesus received the promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father and poured it forth as you see and hear.
Yeah. Yes.
You know,
yes.
This is not some random act, but it's all part of God's plan.
Woo.
From the Father through the Son.
That's a pretty good, powerful teaching.
That is.
Oh, this is good. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Yeshua come, all creation cries for the returning of our King. Come and take your place on your throne, Jerusalem. Place, be enthroned upon our praises. May our worship rise like incense as we magnify the Son. Mighty God of Israel, Lamb upon the throne, all blessing and honor to our God forever. join our hearts together, we come in one accord. The bonds of peace unite us in the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, clothe us with salvation, robes of purest white, the body of Messiah. We are precious in your sight. Even so, Yeshua.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
That's an awesome song.
It is.
That's Paul Wilbert, right?
It is.
What CD is that?
Hopefully he will be in. I can't remember.
Is it Lion of Judah? I think it's Lion of Judah.
Yeah, it's toward the end. I think it's the second to the last song.
It is.
I used to be able to do this with like Beatles songs. What album? What kind of the album?
Jeez. Oh,
that was my younger days. Now I'm lucky if I remember who the Beatles were. No.
Jeez.
Oh, we got to get to Peter talking. Let's talk a little bit about David.
Yeah, let's talk about David.
There's probably a lot of you out there named David.
But none like King David.
But not like King David.
Not like King David,
though. No. And we should probably reference, since, you know, if you've known me more than 10 minutes, you know that I like to connect Old Testament and New Testament things.
You do?
Well, maybe not 10 minutes, but maybe a little more than 10 minutes. But, you know, in 2 Samuel, I think it's chapter 7, God promises David that the Messiah is coming physically from him. He says, from your loins is going to come the ruler.
Yeah, right.
And so that's why he's called the son of David. And the prophet Nathan tells David this, and you know, when you think about it, that's pretty amazing that, you know, you're sitting there somewhere and a prophet comes and says, God told me that Messiah is coming from you biologically.
Yeah.
And we know that both the Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph are both descended. They're both in the line of David.
Right.
So it's pretty cool that the prophecy comes true in the sense that biologically through Mary, Jesus is the son of David.
Yeah.
And Joseph as the, whatever it would be called, foster father.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is also from the line of David.
Yeah.
So therefore, this little boy is the son of David. So if somebody would have said he's the son of David, they'd be telling the truth. Now, there were a lot, David had lots of descendants because he had a bunch of wives, had a bunch of kids. But this is, in particular.
It's a whole different show.
That's that's a whole other show. And then his son Solomon outdoes him. But, you know, the promise of the Messiah coming from him, which you can read for your homework in 2 Samuel 7, is really pretty cool. And in a lot of the Psalms, we don't have time to do, we could do a show someday about prophecy in the Psalms, but it would probably turn into like a whole series. But there's a lot of Psalms where David is prophesying about Yeshua, Jesus.
Yeah.
And sometimes David is talking, but it's actually Jesus talking. Mm-hmm. They're so intricately connected. And Psalm 16 is one of those where David's a type of Christ. And what he's saying is, what he's saying is refers to Jesus as well as to David. And it's Jesus speaking to the Father, and, you know, it's always before him, which means the Father's glory is always before him. And he knew the Father was always with him.
Yeah.
And even though it's David talking, it's through the Holy Spirit, Jesus talking about himself and the Father through David.
Yeah.
And then it says he rejoices because God's always with him. God's always before him. Because Jesus says, you know, he knew the glory. Well, he doesn't say it, but Jesus knew the glory that was set before him.
Yeah.
That he would endure the cross for the glory set before him. And so all these things connected to what Peter was saying. It's mind-boggling.
It is. It's also, as you're speaking about that, it's also, you know, I mean, think about the fact that God chooses to use human beings to in this plan of salvation, to accomplish this plan of salvation, that the fact that he's going to be a descendant, a biological descendant of David. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, it's amazing because God created all things. If he chose to, Jesus could have just came down and.
Sure.
You know, and.
Could have come as a 30-year-old man.
He could have come as a 30-year-old man.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think what the fact, the one thing that we tend to overlook a lot is that in all of this, what God really wants is us to love him from our own heart.
Yes. Good point.
He doesn't want us to, it can't be contrived. It can't be forced.
Mm.
You know, he could certainly send Jesus down and Jesus could be the ruler like they thought. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what, you know, God wants an intimate relationship with us. So intimate that he waits for us. You know, he waits for us really to allow him to love us.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about that this past week on the one retreat that I went back to on, I think it was around February of 2000. And the man who was the retreat master who was there, he said, you know, for some of you this weekend, he goes, the place where God wants to bring you is the place where you're going to allow him to love you.
Mm.
I'm like, wow. You know, because we can really get lost in a lot of the trying to figure out who Jesus is and all the theological debates and all the doctrinal debates and all that stuff.
Yeah.
We can really get lost in all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we can never come to a place where we allow God to love us and really encounter God's blessings and encounter the presence of the Lord, so that we can receive the Holy Spirit and then our lives are transformed.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
And so
as you
were saying that, you know, I'm thinking about how, you know, the prophet Nathan told David this, what, how many years before the Messiah?
Almost
a thousand. And, so it's a well-crafted plan.
Mm-hmm.
It's a well-thought-out plan.
Mm-hmm.
And he carries it through the generations. Mm-hmm. Doesn't always work with the help of humans, but it works in spite of humans.
That's right. I mean, if you've read about, if you've ever taken my course on 1st and 2nd Samuel, which I know Steve has.
I have.
But anyway. I mean, you see
David. Let me get my notes out.
You know, David wasn't exactly, you know, like an altar boy. He was walking around with his hands folded all the time.
No.
He got into a lot of mischief.
Yes, he did.
He got into a lot of situations.
Yeah.
It was
messy.
Messy business.
Yeah.
And just like well, there was so much messy business in the Old Testament, and there's messy business in the,
New
first
Testament.
Century too, but
yeah.
God works through all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like Jacob wanted to marry a woman, but then married her, turned out it wasn't her, so he married her sister, so he's married to two women.
Right.
But God works through that. Yeah. Now, does God want you to marry two women that are sisters? I would say no.
Probably not. No.
But, after it happened, he kind of works through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, David is going around doing all this stuff and multiplying wives and treasures and getting in fights and sometimes running away, sometimes coming back. I mean, you never know what he was going to do exactly.
Yeah.
But he's the father of the Messiah. He's the king. Messiah sits on the throne of David.
Yeah.
All this stuff is worked out.
Yeah. His descendants eventually come to a place in time where the Messiah is born of his descendants.
Yes.
Yeah.
And God tells Solomon, because you asked for wisdom and not for power and treasure and stuff, you're going to be the wisest man who ever lived. Well, if you read about Solomon, you say, well, maybe he was wise, but man, he did some pretty weird stuff.
Yeah.
And his personal life was a disaster.
Yeah. I mean, and he let that, there's, when you receive the gift of God, there's also responsibility with it.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be responsible with it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's pretty awesome. It's amazing. And, you know, Peter's talking about all this to all these travelers who are in Jerusalem for this Feast of Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
Should we get to the next part in chapter, verse 37? In chapter 2, verse 37, do you have anything else you want to
say? Did you read from 29?
I did.
You did.
Yeah.
so Peter.
We're lost in the spirit.
I got lost in the spirit here.
He says, I think I left off with, therefore let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God had made him both Lord and Messiah, yeah. Jesus whom you crucified.
So there.
That was the verdict.
So the thing about verse 29 is Peter explains how David can't be talking about himself during these passages. And David's a patriarch, and it says he died and he was buried and his tomb is here.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody can say that David did not undergo corruption because he got buried and he's still in the tomb. So David's body is corrupt, but Jesus's body is not corrupt. The Holy One cannot undergo decay and corruption. So David's not talking about himself during these. He's prophesying about Messiah. So he knew Messiah was going to come from him and that he was going to be the one that conquered death. Now, this was mind-boggling to these people.
Mm-hmm.
Mind-boggling, because they knew about patriarchs.
Yeah.
And they knew about David, and they knew about all these things, and they knew about David's prophecies. But when Peter points out, David's dead and he's buried, but Messiah's alive and we saw him ascend into heaven, because now he's at the right hand of the Father. This is all part of Peter's teaching to these guys.
Yeah.
That you guys better listen to what I'm saying, because so far you haven't done a really good job getting into this.
Right.
So you better start getting into it now.
Woo. And Peter's diving right in.
Oh, he's diving right in.
And they're probably wondering, like, where did he get this from?
Exactly. How come this guy's talking like this?
Did he go to Phil's Bible Torah study?
No. No. Now, Peter would, he wouldn't have liked my Torah study when he was younger.
Probably.
But now he would be, quoting everything.
But you see that, I mean, Peter never spoke like this. He never put anything like this in sequential order before.
No.
There's nothing recorded in the 3 years that he walked with Jesus that was in this type of a sequential order.
Yeah.
So this is the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's inspired by God.
Amen. And he refers to, they were witnesses also to the ascension. So there in 33, it talks about now he's exalted at the right hand of God.
Yeah.
He sits at the right hand. And because he's exalted, now what you've seen here is the promise of the Father to send forth the Holy Spirit, and he has been poured out, and that's what you're seeing and hearing here.
Yeah.
What you're seeing and hearing here is not a bunch of guys that have been up all night drinking, and it's not a bunch of guys that are just having fun.
Right.
This is the Holy Spirit has been poured out, and David didn't ascend into heaven. Yeah. David never went from the Mount of Olives into heaven, and David never said, oh, my Father's going to send you the Spirit, going to send you the Paraclete.
Right. That's true.
This is the Son of David who did this. And he even talks about, you know, David says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at the right hand. So, you know, they point out, how can David call his son Lord? Right. So he's calling his son Messiah. He's calling Jesus, his son, Lord.
Yeah.
So there's this intricate interconnection between David and Jesus, which is pretty cool. And then he summarizes it by saying, I'm telling you, God has made him Lord and Christ. He's Adonai and Mashiach, and you guys missed it.
Yeah.
Woo!
And you crucified him.
Yes. Now, go to 37. That's 37 is pretty exciting, too.
So that's the verdict. Peter hits him with the verdict.
Oh, and now, right over the head.
Very plainly, not plainly, but very, I mean, this is truth. This is how truth needs to be proclaimed, because it, you know, it confronts people with the decision that they have to make. Am I on the side of life, or am I on the side of death?
Yeah.
Am I on the side of Christ, or am I on the side of the enemy?
Yeah.
So in 37, he says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and asked Peter and the other apostles, what are we to do, my brothers? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Ooh.
For the promise is made to you and to your children and to all those far off, whomever the Lord our God will call. He testified with many other arguments and was exhorting them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 persons were added that day.
Wow. What a great revival.
Wow. Yeah.
Did they have a tent? Was this like a tent revival?
I don't even know if they had time to put up a tent.
They didn't, actually.
Probably not. They didn't have time to get a committee together or anything.
No.
What was Peter thinking?
Well, the weather was probably nice.
Probably.
They didn't need to be in a tent.
Yeah, that's true.
So it was probably 100 degrees. But, you know, it's... He quotes from Psalm 110, says, this isn't David talking about himself, and his enemies are going to be his footstool. So he, in fact, is the Messiah. Because remember when Jesus did a lot of his miracles, he told them, don't tell anybody, or if he reveals something to him. But now Peter's telling them. Now all of them are going to go out and tell people what they saw and heard. And by extension, so are we supposed to.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to keep it quiet. We're not supposed to be undercover Christians. We're not supposed to be, you know, kind of like walking around saying, hope nobody finds out I'm a Christian.
You know, I think there's still people that believe that
today. Oh, yeah. It's a private matter.
It's a private matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't tell anybody.
Yeah. And then at one point, I don't remember the reference now offhand, but Jesus says, don't tell anybody this until the Son of Man is raised.
Right.
Well, now they're allowed to tell everybody. Now Peter's literally preaching it from the rooftops.
Yeah.
And here he is proclaiming that Jesus is Lord and Christ. Remember, Christ is his title, not his name.
Right.
He's the Christ. That comes from the Greek Christos. We use the word Messiah, which comes from the Hebrew Mashiach.
Right.
And they get cut to the heart when they realize we delivered him over. Now, Peter's explaining to us how he's the son of David and he lives forever, and now he's at the right hand of God. And this is the one that was sent, the one that was glorified, and they're cut to the heart. I mean, imagine.
Yeah.
The ones that are open to this are cut to the heart. Oh, this is an awesome song, too.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, check out GiftsOfGraceMinistries.org. We'll be right back.
Nations.
eyes of all men will be fixed on the Lamb who was crucified. When wisdom and mercy and justice you reign at your Father's side. And the angels will cry, Hail the Lamb, who was slain for the world, ruling by. And the earth will reply, You shall reign as the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. There's a shield in our hand and a sword at our side. There's a fire in our spirits that cannot be denied. 'Cause the Father has told us for these you have died. For the nations that gather before you. And the ears of all men need to hear of the Lamb who was crucified. Who descended to hell yet was raised up to reign at his Father's side. And the angels will cry,
listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, the Word.
Well, welcome back to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220.
Woo!
That's an amazing song.
Yeah. Now that's like, what you should be doing.
It's like the whole gospel message in one song.
It is.
And I, you know, that's another thing too. We always, not that we're always being critical of churches, but you rarely in a church hear Jesus referred to as the Lion of Judah. But, you know, he's the Lion of Judah. Everybody likes to talk about the Lamb of God, which he is. But he's a lion and a lamb. That reminds me of a song too. He's a lion and the lamb. He's the Lion of Judah.
Wow.
And,
he should be a songwriter.
He's going to come back roaring pretty soon. I hope it's today, but he's going to come back roaring pretty soon.
If it's in the last segment, we can.
And so Peter tells him, all Israel better know this because I'm telling you, and they were cut to the heart. And, you know, when you're cut to the heart, it kind of reminds me of, I guess everybody who does their testimony thinks about it at some point. When you realize what the truth is, you say, like, well, what do we do now? I was like, what do I do now?
Yeah. yeah, when you're cut to the heart, and it doesn't always mean that you're going to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Because you have a choice.
Sure. Yeah.
But, man, when you're cut to the heart, it's pretty profound.
Yeah.
It's pretty profound. And, you know, if you have been cut to the heart, it's a starting place where really God just needs that little opening.
Yeah.
To make you a new creation.
Absolutely. Amen.
And that's what he desires.
Yes.
You know, and he wants us to really put down our defenses and just allow us to love him. He wants you to just give us a great big hug. You know, if anybody ever comes up to you and they give you this great big hug because they love you just so much, and you go, oh, you know, you really didn't mean that. You're missing the whole point. And you're really taking the love of that person for granted by doing that. Mostly, but that's what God wants to do with
mostly
us.
Mostly I hear, get away from me. No. Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. That's a good point. And
yeah.
it all goes... People don't realize this because we try to fit God into whatever our schedule happens to be at the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got plans for my life. And, you know, I was talking to a young woman in my office. I was witnessing to her and I said something about, well, you know, when Jesus comes back and, you know, it might be soon. We don't know. But she goes, well, it can't be now. And I said, why is that? She goes, because I have two kids I have to raise. I go, well, that's not going to keep him from coming back
No.
when the appointed time comes.
Right. Well, that's a prime example of
Yeah.
my plans are in the
that's
way.
Right. That's right.
What
and
about
the
my
second
plans?
Second coming can't interfere with my plans.
Yeah.
But
we all do it.
Yeah, of course. Now, this crowd, which really kind of included a lot of people. I mean, if 3,000 people got saved, there might have been like 7,000, 8,000, 10,000 people there, maybe
yeah.
even more.
Well, yeah, it says those who accepted the message were
yeah.
baptized.
I don't know how Peter projected his voice so they could all hear him, but his microphone must have worked. Anyway.
Probably.
Yeah. So these people that did accept were penetrated by the word.
Yeah.
And their hearts were changed just by Peter preaching this message.
Yeah.
Now, this was, you know, like you don't like the parable of the sower. I mean, this is the seed that fell on the good ground.
Oh, yeah.
Where they go, wow, we heard about David all our life. We heard about all these other things in the prophets. And now I see how it's all coming together because of what this dopey-looking fisherman has been talking about. This is pretty cool because he's got more authority now teaching
yeah.
than those guys that have all the cool robes on.
Yeah. He's teaching with authority.
Yeah.
And they keep on teaching with authority.
Yeah.
And this is just one example of the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, exactly.
It is not for us to be, you know, it's for us, it's to give us the courage to speak the truth with boldness and with faithfulness to Jesus.
Mm.
At times, you know, we can get into other things, but I don't think that's really what the Holy Spirit is there for or what the Holy Spirit calls us to. But to proclaim the word faithfully
mm-hmm.
with, you know, with the courage that the Holy Spirit gives and with in the spirit of truth,
mm-hmm.
that's really our call.
Yes.
You know, is to proclaim it in truth.
Yes.
And not to diminish what the cross of Jesus Christ has accomplished.
Yeah, exactly.
And not to diminish what the Holy, what the coming of the Holy Spirit means to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And that is to lead us in all truth and to remind us of all that Jesus taught us.
Wow. That's good. That's awesome. That's very well put. This is what we're supposed to do too.
Yeah. This is.
Now, we may not do it as in a, such a dramatic way that Peter did.
Right.
And we may not have like 3,000 people say, what are we to do, brethren? But we could tell one person, 10 people, yeah. 3 people.
Yeah. I mean, like you were saying before, you know, Jesus would tell them, you know, don't tell anybody until the Messiah is risen.
Yeah.
Well, there's people in the church today that really do think that, oh gosh, I can't tell anybody about my faith because it's a personal matter. It's not a personal matter.
It's not a personal matter.
It's really a public matter because you're an ambassador for Jesus Christ, and an ambassador for Jesus Christ proclaims the truth.
2 Corinthians 5.
Yeah. So he's risen. Get out there, proclaim it.
Woo! Amen. I'm at the end of the show. I got more stuff. At the end of the show.
We're going to have more stuff for next
more
week.
Stuff.
More
right.
stuff.
All right. I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that as the Holy Spirit fell upon Peter and he was emboldened to proclaim that Jesus is the Messiah, that you too would be open to the power of the Holy Spirit to work in your life, to be a disciple for Jesus Christ, an ambassador for truth, and to proclaim him as Messiah and Lord. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.